We saw a movie. Anybody seen that movie about Joan of Arc? Great movie. Did you see that movie? And one of the key things that Joan of Arc said, she says, look, he told me. And she would just go crazy because he told her. Some of the decisions that the woman made, I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, she was telling them to take forts and stuff they couldn't take. And they say, we can't do that. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the ability. We don't have this. And she said, I don't care what we got. That has nothing to do with it. And what has to do with it is he said do it. And what he said do, she just did it. Amen. What God had told her to do, she just did it no matter what. Well, don't you know that's faith? When you hear heaven, you just walk. It's like the children of Israel wouldn't have come out. They wouldn't have come out if they hadn't walked into the water, right? Somehow you got to walk through the water sometimes. Doesn't look like the water's going to part. You just keep walking. You just keep walking. It might look like you're going to drown. Just keep walking. By the time you get there, it'll open up. Just be obedient no matter what. See, that's what faith is all about. It's just obedience. Faith is based in obedience. We said we were talking to the staff. We started some things, and it was great. And thank God nobody can stop us. We decided to put the whole staff on 9 to 12s. And yesterday we went and did devotions with that. And boy, some things had come out of that. My. And it was just good. And it was talking about how ungodliness, the word ungodly. Let's open up Jude and also Proverbs. We'll just give you a couple of nuggets from that before we go really on to what God was speaking to us, and we'll breathe it to you. It said, in Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Well, and one of the things that really stuck out to us, you know, somebody say this is a season of revelation. This is a season of revelation knowledge. This is a season of revelation knowledge. God is revealing things to us. The more he wants to do, the more he reveals in his word. The more he wants to do, he does through his word. And we base everything out of the word. We said, well, you want to see some things move, get into the word. Now, we do lots of action and lots of things. Well, this ministry was based. It's based out of the word. In verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. And write that real big on your notebook. God's about to deliver us. He's about to deliver us from ungodliness by revealing what ungodliness is. Isn't that great? Now, I've had humanistic ways and religious thinking and religious teaching concerning ungodliness. We take ungodliness to be basically be actions and deeds. Well, no, that's the fruit of ungodliness. We teach that sin is missing God's marker perfection for your life. Not necessarily what you do what you do because of sin. Sin means you're missing God. And when you miss God, guess what? Those actions and those deeds will follow. You're missing it. You start walking down a path God doesn't want you to walk in. Guess what? You'll find yourself sinning to stay in that path because there's no grace to keep you there. There's no abundance to keep you there, and there's no prosperity to keep you there. Remember the teacher said, Lord, prosper me, give me enough that, you know, I'll have enough that I'm not stealing from nobody else. but I don't want so much that I forget about you, but I don't want so little that I start to steal. Well, conditions of where people are will cause them to sin, right? When you get outside of the covenant of God, you'll find yourself slacking in certain areas that you wouldn't normally slack in. You get into a relationship you don't belong in, you find yourself fussing and cussing a little bit more than you would, right? Because you miss God's best for your life. Now, you can be doing a good thing, but is it a God's thing? But the God thing in your life is the thing which will cause you to walk in His plan and not to sin. When you walk in peace, guess what? You walk in the will of God. Guess what? You're walking in grace. You're walking in anointing. And you will naturally be able to perform His law. So actions and deeds. Somebody say, well, what's a sin then? What is basically a sin? When do you really go nuts? When do you jump all over people? You know, when we look at when they're drunk, when they're smoking a cigarette, when they're in an adulterous relationship, when is it sin? It's sin before that. See, we got to learn to get people that are in sin before the fruit of sin comes. That's what Jesus was talking about when he wasn't so concerned about what people were doing, because there was a root that was causing them to do the things that they do. Ungodliness causes people to sin. One of the things I found out, there were certain habits, and I can be in sin. Oh, yes, I can get into sin. Now, I might not go out and do the things that people would call to be sin. See, that's what Pharisees were all about. Pharisees were all about looking at people's actions and judging their actions and saying, that was a sinner, that was a sinner, that was a sinner, and that was a sinner, and this one did this one wrong, this one did that one wrong, and they were all about deeds. But Jesus went beyond deeds to where people were in him, to where they were. Were they hitting God's mark of perfection? Basically, the word sin is an ancient word. Basically, it comes out of it's an English word, and it basically is a word that we get out of archery. Y'all understand that, and you know that, right? It's like if we were playing archery and we put a big bullseye in the middle of the screen, and you hit bullseye, you all say, bullseye! Everybody say, bullseye! But if you shot your arrow and went way off from the mark where you were supposed to hit, they wouldn't cry bullseye, they would cry sin. Sin, okay? And that was way back. And that's where we get the word sin. When they translated the Bible, that's the closest word, English word, that we had to mark the concept of missing the best. Wow, isn't that good? Well, this means that, listen, that in my life, I can be doing all kind of stuff, but not what God wants to do. I could come in here and be behind my computer when I'm supposed to be in prayer, when the Holy Ghost said to be in prayer. Is there anything wrong with being in the computer? No. But you know what that is? That's sin. Why? It's because God says, go this way, and we go that way. And I can do whatever I want to do when I feel like doing it, not be led by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know what's going to happen? That sin will start to manifest fruit. You'll see other little habits, other little things pop up. Sin, the fruit of sin. Now, we have to realize when we see the fruit of sin that we need to get people from sin. Yeah. The Bible says, if you abide in the vine, you sin not. Those that know God sin not. Uh-oh, that's really scary. What does it mean? When you're wrapped up in the Holy Ghost and you're obeying the Holy Ghost, don't worry about what you don't do. Just worry about what you do do. Do everything the Holy Ghost tells you to do. And you know what? You'll walk in God's holiness. And you'll walk in that grace and you'll walk in that anointing. Don't be judged anymore by what you do and don't do. Be judged by where you are and how much you obey the Holy Ghost. You want to be led by the Holy Ghost. Now, basically what it's talking about here when it says ungodly. Do y'all want to break that down? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. Now, it was taught, anything that comes out of the flesh, guess what? Sin. Anything that comes out of the flesh is going to be sin. Anything that comes out of the mind of man, I don't care if you breathed it out of your head, you thought it up, guess what? It didn't come from God, for his ways are higher than our ways. And we don't trust ourselves. We don't think up good things to do. Well, what do we preach tonight? Well, what do we do with the church? What do we conceive? Listen, we're not God. We can't even think those things. We've got to get in the Holy Ghost and pray those things into existence and walk them out, that we are not walking by the flesh, but walking by the Spirit. Notice that he said, Jude chapter 20, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself in the most holy faith. Well, that is what will keep us out of sin, building the inner man so that we can hear. You got to have somewhere to go. You got to have somewhere to go. Stay in the spirit and stay out of the flesh. If you stay in the spirit, glory to God, stay led by the spirit, you're going to do the God thing. It's going to take the law from you and give you the spirit of life. That's why it says some people are bound by the law. They're bound by what they can do in their body and what they conceive in their mind versus what they do by following the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about your habits. Follow the Holy Ghost. They'll fall off. Don't worry about your deeds. Follow the Holy Ghost. They'll stop. Don't you take your own ability to sanctify yourself. Let the Holy Ghost do it. Hang around the Holy Ghost. Hang around the fire, and then it will burn it away. You'll find things that you used to do, you just don't want to do them anymore. You'll find things you just used to do, you just don't want to do them anymore. It is not enough for me to get up here and say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. I need to turn you on to the Holy Ghost and pull you from sin and pull you over to life and life more abundantly. When you find out that God's got something for you, leave that mess alone. I've had enough of trying to play the Holy Ghost for people. I ain't doing it no more. Play the Holy Ghost. You can't watch that station. You can't. You know, even though we know those things are the fruit of sin. Am I saying those things are right? No, I'm saying those things are wrong. It is sin, but it is a greater thing that causes them to do those things. And until that individual gets over to the Spirit, guess what? They can't stop. They won't stop. The Holy Ghost said something to my spirit. We got to catch this. He said something. He said, you got to get into conversion. He said, that's the problem. Y'all get people in church, but you don't get them converted. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You got to. People need to be converted. It's salvation. Salvation is a spiritual work. It's a Holy Ghost work. You can't teach those things. People have got to be converted. And when people get converted, they get sold out to Jesus. You can't get people that aren't sold out to Jesus to stop sinning. You can't do it. Just doesn't work that way. You get them on fire for Jesus to where they can't get enough of him. They won't do those things anymore. Jesus doesn't even do it. The Holy Ghost doesn't do it. That's why he says he turns people over to their own desire in the book of Romans. Why? Because he can't do anything with that. They've got to make up their mind that they want to walk in the Spirit. And if they don't want to walk in the Spirit, there is no way that they'll ever be able to escape sin and death and corruption. If you're not willing to walk for God with everything that's within you, you're not going to be able to walk away from the devil. You're not going to be able to break that stuff off. We can speak as many devils off of you as we every week. Cast a new devil. They'll come back. They'll come back. They'll come back. You need to get to a place where a devil can't go. There are places where devils and demons and things can't go. Yeah, there are certain people, you know, saved means you got a mind to walk right, got a mind to live right. There is one thing that you must have in your mind. There's one thing that you need to do with your mind. What is that? Renew it with the word of God, but keep this mindset. Keep this mindset. This is what you do with your own mind. You got to keep this mindset. One, renew it with the word of God, and that's a spiritual thing. That's a spiritual thing. So you have to brainwash yourself with the word of God. That is something that your spirit does. But there is one thing that you need to keep in your mind, because people say, God's not concerned about the head. Yes, he is. He said that you would worship me with all of your heart, soul, and mind. So God will use some of your mind and some of your intellect. You've got to have a mind to run for Jesus. You've got to be willing. The flesh can do nothing but say yes. And you will find people that aren't willing to do that. You can't get saved until you make up your mind that you want to be saved. And you surrender. You've got to have a mind to run for Jesus. The saints used to say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I thank God I've got a mind to run on. And I've got a mind to go all the way. There are certain people that start the journey, but they don't have a mind and an intent to finish it. You can be whatever you want to be. We can't tell you what you want to be, but I am not Calvinistic. I'm not Calvinistic. What's the difference between Calvinists and Arminians? We were studying that this morning. One is, the Calvinist says you don't have a choice whether you're saved or not. It's already chosen for you. And no matter what you'll do, you'll always be saved, and you'll always be okay, and you'll always be all right, and you don't have anything to do with it because God is so big, and that's the way it's planned out. Isn't that a trip? The Arminian says, you can make a choice whether you want to be saved or not. Whenever you want to stop, you can stop. Paul wouldn't have told us, and they wouldn't have preached so often, look, don't turn around if you could, didn't have the ability to turn around. How can you who have started this thing turn around and go back to former things? Guess what? The only difference between the Calvinists and the Arminians is that we believe that if you don't want to go, you don't have to, and you won't. Amen. God's not going to take you anywhere you don't have a mind to go. I mean, that would be crazy. Then why did he get saved in the first place? I mean, then why even preach the gospel? Why even share the gospel? He'd already decided who's going to go. Then why even preach the gospel if decision didn't have anything to do with it? You have got to have a mind. And the minute that you lose your mind to follow him, you're in trouble. And I said, well, what happens if somebody, oh, I said, Father, what happens, you know what I really believe? You better be ready when he comes. He's not going to be worried about what you did in the past. He's going to be worried about what you're doing when he comes. Amen. If you're not following him, you're not walking in the light when he shows up, guess what? Sorry. He's not going to judge what you did last week. It doesn't have anything to do with that. You just make sure when he gets there, it's all right. That's why it tells us, look, you don't know the day or the hour when he comes. When he comes, make sure you're ready. Be ready when he comes. Not just with saying a sinner prayer 50, 60 years ago. There were many people that believed. There were virgins in the room. They all believed that he was coming, but they all didn't get taken away. Why? You got to be ready when he comes. Ready, working, and able, and following the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, does that mean you're not going to go to heaven? Yeah, you'll probably get there. Smelling like smoke. You'll get there. He'll come back and get you. We'll come back and get you. We'll come back and get you. What do I believe? People that are stuck to the world. Who do I believe? I believe if you got anything caught to yourself and you're so addicted to the world, guess what? He's going to give you your heart's desire. You can't make it to church. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost. You're too busy. You're too busy with work. You're too busy with this. You're too busy with that to follow the things of God. Well, guess what? When he comes, everybody's going to get their heart's desire. Those that were pressing in and trying to seek him with all of their heart and all their mind are going to get that. And those that could wait the next time until it was more convenient, they'll get that. They'll get their heart. Whatever they were holding on to is what they're going to be left with. Why is it so easy to get caught away? Because we don't have anything holding us back. Are there people that are going to be saved after the rapture? I do believe yes. Yeah. A whole lot of people. I believe there'll be a big revival. There's going to be a big revival. Churches will be still dead because there ain't going to be no fire in them. It'll be churches of the flesh. Many of them wouldn't even know the difference anyhow. There'll be churches of the flesh. There would be no move of the Holy Ghost whatsoever. The Holy Ghost will be gone. And everything they do, they'll do it through their own understanding and through their own intellect. Now, for some people, they'll be okay because they've been doing it for years. Their entire religious experience will be from their intellect, and they will no longer have the anointing of the New Testament church. They will have the Old Testament covenant that they must walk through. The Spirit will be withdrawn. They just have to abide by the law. They're going to have to deal with their flesh. They didn't follow. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that makes the difference. I believe the rapture, the sole purpose of the rapture, because you know God can handle anything. You can handle the tribulation. You can make it through that. Glory to God, you can. But the devil wouldn't be able to make it through the tribulation. God would be going back on his word. If he let the devil do all the things that he was supposed to do with you here on the earth. Here you got authority and power over sickness and disease. And God tells you, you lay your hands on the sick. He could not get his job done with you here. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, walking in the light of God, walking under the anointing of God and the authority of God, he tries to take the nations he's supposed to take. You say, oh, no, devil, back up in Jesus' name. You can't have it. You are in his way. The Bible says after he is taken up, then the devil gets to do what he is able to do. After that thing that holds him back is taken away. Well, what holds him back but the power of the Holy Ghost in the church, the living Holy Ghost-filled church? Troublemakers will be taken out of the way. Then you'll see what the devil has to do. Doesn't that make sense to you? Study your Bible and you find out. If you're not troubling the devil, you're not doing anything, don't worry about it. It goes beyond that. He's going to have to get me out of here before he takes the city. You got to make that kind of difference. He got to get the truth out so he can take over. And that lets us see how important we are and that we have a role and that we have a responsibility and that we have an anointing and that today is our day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable year of the Lord. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is our anointing. This is the season when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining and should be shining. We got to shine now because the devil's going to shine tomorrow. The best thing you're going to see that God has to offer in this time is going to be through you and through the church. Did you know that? The next person that takes the stage is not going to be Jesus. Right now it's the Holy Ghost through the church. And then it shall be the devil. And then he shall come in the sky.
the next wave of God's glory, God's grace, and God's power before the consummation of the age is His power, His grace, and His anointing through you.
Greater things you'll do. Notice that in the Bible it says, greater things you will do. Greater things you will do. It's your song now. It's your song now. Jesus is still on the earth today through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of God. Did you understand? The same Jesus that healed the woman, that healed the woman with the issue of blood, the same Jesus that called Lazarus from the dead, that same anointing, the same man is here right now in us. No less. It's still here, the same anointing. The Bible says that woman stretched out and touched the hem of His garment, and His garment made them whole, made her whole. Well, listen, you are the garment of God today, for He indwells you. You are the clothing that He's wearing. You are the temple of the Most High God. You are anointed. It's the same Spirit, same power. Same power is in the room right now. He's here. But you just got to get the faith that she had. There was no scripture in the Bible that said His garment would heal. But there is scripture in the Bible that says you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover because He's here. You can have that same miracle tonight if you got that same kind of faith. The Holy Ghost is God. Jesus is God. But those, He said, to as many as would believe, to those He gave power to become the sons of God. To those that would believe these things shall receive the power to become what God says they shall be. Somebody say, we're ready to do it. We're ready to do it. Paul's done his bit. Peter's done his bit. They did it. Now you're going to do it. Mark chapter 16. The Father says to increase your faith. To increase your faith. He says, teach them faith. Teach them the things of God. And I'll start to move through them in power and through anointing. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. He says, you'll do it. He said, you'll do it. Don't give up. Don't quit. This word is planted in your heart. It's going to come back in abundance of fruit. He desires to move in power. He desires to move in power. Holy Ghost power, not a joke, the real dose. You're about to see the power of the Holy Ghost through you. You done heard thunder from heaven, angels on the roof. You've seen curtains open with nobody's hand on it. We've seen signs and wonders already. The real thing, and it's only just begun. We've walked into the building and smoke everywhere. We've already had the fire truck show up. Somebody already called us and said the building was on fire. We've already had it. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Feel the Holy Ghost say, I'm going to blow it up. I'm going to fill it with my power, my grace, and my anointing. There shall be revival. Yes, shout about it. Yes, there will. Yes, there will. Revival in the name of Jesus. Revival in the name of Jesus. I see the power of the anointing of God flowing all through this city. Through your hands, glory to God. Through your mouth, glory to God. Not just trapped in one church building, but everywhere, 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 everywhere the river flows, the power will go and life will go. You are the river of the living God. It abides within you. Spring up a well in your soul and watch the power of God flow. Yes, Father, I hear the Holy Ghost say, get them to believe me, get them to believe me, get them to believe me, get them to believe me. Just build their faith. Build their faith, and I'll do great and mighty deeds. Build their faith. I'll give you revelation. I'll give you revelation. Glory to God. I'll give you an anointing so that the dose will go down heavy, so that it'll go down good. Build their faith because I want to do something through them. I see the anointing of God flowing through you. I see angels going throughout the city. I see them going throughout the land, and they're picking out one here. They're picking out one there. They're pruning the best. And the anointing of God said the best will be in the house. They're picking out the best. There's going to be a great and mighty harvest. But before that harvest, God's going to handpick the best and place them. We get first pick, first dibs in the name of Jesus. I saw the Holy Ghost doing it. I saw the Holy Ghost pulling people out and placing them in. Pulling them out and placing them in. There have been some people that you believe in God to change. The Holy Ghost is pulling them out and placing them in one by one. Moving others out, putting others in. Now listen. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14, it says, after he appeared unto the seven, he sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Notice that before he said, go ye into all the world, he upbraided them for their unbelief. Notice that before the great revival, when he sends the church out to the world and tells them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he upbraided them for unbelief. He got their faith together first. It was faith. Jesus came back, and before he sent them out and commissioned them, he taught, they had a faith revival. They had a faith wave. He said, don't worry about it. He's going to fix that unbelief. Receive this word. Receive this word. Be able to believe the impossible, because that's what you're going to be able to receive. And there's an anointing to upbraid your faith. You got to have faith. The last and mighty and great move and the last great wave that flowed across this nation was a wave of faith. And it's not over yet. You can't stop talking faith until you see what faith can produce. You don't stop talking about faith until you go into every church and you say, we can do that. And they say, yes, we can. We won't start talking faith until we spit out a word and say, can God do it? We hear a roar from out here saying, let's do it. It's already done in Jesus' name. You haven't seen faith yet. You haven't seen the God kind of faith yet. It's coming. It's coming. Lord, I was on the internet last night and I started preaching over the web. Somebody was talking about prayer in schools. I said, they don't need no prayer in schools. They can't even go to pray in church. Do they pray at home? Or are we going to go and get the U.S., get the Supreme Court involved so people can run and pray in school? By the time you run it in court and pick it in around the school, you can go to church and pray. And when you start praying at home and start praying in church, they won't be able to stop you from praying in the schools. We can't get, you can't pay people to pray. You can't pay people to run into church and pray. But yet we want to get these teenagers that we can't control and push them to school and make them pray in school over the microphone. They want to be seen of men, but it's not the things that are seen of men. It's the things that are unseen. It's up early in the morning, up under the chair, praying! Glory to God. See, that's the spirit of the Pharisee. They love to be seen in the high places. Let's pray here. Let's pray everywhere so people can see. They're not going to answer your prayer. He's going to answer the prayer. It's the prayer in the Holy Ghost that's going to do it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I saw the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost told me, he said, if they would just start to pray at home. He said, I'm not worried about the school. He didn't go there to the Pharisees. He didn't go to the Roman Empire and try to teach him to pray. He told his disciples to pray. We don't take prayer to the school. We take the gospel to the school. Ha! God's not going to hear the prayer of the wicked anyhow. When we start to pray at home, your kid ain't going to pray anyhow. They don't see you praying at home and praying in church. They ain't going to pray anyhow. When we start to pray at home, start there. Gentlemen begins in the house of God. We want to go everywhere. We want to go to the White House. Oh, yes. Revival. We want to go to the White House. We want to go to the Senate. We want to go to Congress. We want to go to San Francisco. Why don't you go home and start there? Start praying in your closet. Fill that place with prayers. The Bible says he that takes his own spirit is greater than he that takes a city. What good would it gain for us to gain the whole world and yet lose our own soul? We start praying at home. Then we start praying in church. And the prayer gets so strong at church, we just can't keep it on the inside.
Somebody talk about revival. See, we want them to do it our way. That's not what they had in the New Testament church. That's why they were dragged into prison, thrown before lions. They tried to tell you, you can't pray anymore. You can't do this anymore. They just did it because they couldn't stop. You get the anointing going right in your home. You get the anointing going right in your church. That you can't stop them from praying. They'll be praying on the bus. They won't be just praying in a flagpole. They'll be praying on the bus. They'll be praying in the classroom. You can't stop them from praying. I'm talking about real revival. I'm not talking about no mess. I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. You can't shut somebody up that's full of the Holy Ghost. They'll get to the point where it's like fire shut up inside my bone. Seek the Holy Ghost. Waiting for the flesh. That ain't going to do nothing. A form of godliness, but that denies the power thereof. We're after the power. We get to praying. We do it God's way. We'll raise up a breed of young people. You can't stop. They're not going to be afraid to go to jail. Not gonna give you anything. You gotta take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I've seen revivals in high school. Don't take an act of Congress. It takes a move of the Holy Ghost. Who can stop you when you do what God tells you to do? He didn't go ask permission of the devil before he got here and took the keys to this kingdom back. He went and took it. The people say we need to get prayer back in school. I said, did you pray in your house today? I said in this whole chat room right now, how many go to weekly prayer in your church? Not one of them. But they were so concerned about prayer in school. Hypocrite. They want people to see them. The world's seen enough. They would see Jesus. But notice, after he upbraided them for their unbelief, then he sent them into all the world. And in verse 50, it said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Said to preach the gospel. That's what you do to the world. You don't try to get them to perform the things of God in the flesh. They can't do it. Preach the gospel to them. And get them converted and watch what the Holy Ghost does. Get them started. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. There's a sign to believers. What is a sign to believer? What they say? No. Signs. There's a sign to the believer. Paul said, I come not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if you can't believe me for the words I say, but believe me for the works that I do say, there are signs to the believer. Don't get afraid. You'll have them. You'll have them. Your answered prayers will be signs. Thunder from heaven will be signs that there is a God. That's what's going to separate you from the ungodly. That's what's going to separate you from the things of the flesh, from other gods. Signs. The things that Baal's men couldn't do. Signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. And the reason why the signs aren't following, because nobody's believing. They're going before they get their faith upbraided. Get your faith upbraided. You ain't going to be able to do nothing until you fill with the Holy Ghost and have your faith upbraided. These signs shall follow those that believe. In my name. Somebody say, signs are following me. Say it again. Glory to God. Signs are following me. That means there's more to come. That means you haven't seen it all. You got signs behind you. I'm here to prophesy by the Holy Ghost. You got some signs behind you. Don't worry about it. The signs will follow. You got some backup. It's the sign of God. You're not going by yourself. There's a witness to the Holy Ghost. The sign is a witness. Signs are following this ministry. There's more to come. Come in. Expect it. He's going to show up. Demonstration. You preach the word and watch it put it on. You build their faith. Faith is the platform for God to perform on. You build their faith and you teach Jesus. Don't teach Jesus Christ, him resurrected. Teach Jesus, but then teach the Holy Ghost, because that's Jesus too. Did you know that? Say, not only did he die on the cross, but he's right here right now. He is? Yes, he is. Watch this. He's in me. That power is still here. Teach the Holy Ghost to teach it all. Teach it all. He said, lo, I'll be with you always and forever, even until the end of time. What does that mean? He just went from one dimension to the next. He didn't leave. He said, I won't be just around you, but I'll be in you. He's still here. Jesus is still in the house. In my name they shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. This next revival of the Holy Ghost is going to be more than just people with the philosophy of Christianity, more than just people sitting around a campfire with a guitar, more than just people watching a video or a movie or a slideshow. They're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They'll be able to take up serpents. They'll be casting out devils. They won't be doing camp with them. You won't see Christian buses riding down the road with an earring here, earring there, tattoo there, a tattoo everywhere, and you jumping in the hole with them, going, "Oh yes, I'm going there." Hallelujah. You'll cast the devil out. You don't have to camp with him. You'll cast him out. You don't have to find a youth pastor that can relate to a devil. He'll have the power to get the devil out. Yes, for so long we didn't stoop down so low and played games. No power, no faith. We've been doing it in the flesh. We've been doing it in the flesh, but there is a Holy Ghost revival coming, and people are going to believe the word of God and they'll pull them out. They shall cast out devils and speak with new tongues. They'll be able to speak everybody's language. They'll be able to relate to everybody. They will not only speak with the tongues of angels, but you'll be able to communicate with anybody. Get on anybody's level. You'll be able to talk to the millionaires. You'll be able to speak the tongue to the millionaire because you'll be blessed like one of them. But you'll be able to speak like the pauper because that's what God's brought you from. You will speak in many tongues because you're going to be in every dimension. Don't stop talking in your tongues. Get them all. Don't stop talking in your tongues. People need to hear you speak their language. You need the new tongue. Glory to God. You need a new tongue. They're tired of hearing that religious mess. Glory to God. You need a new tongue. You need the gift of tongues. There are many languages, and you got to know them all. How can he relate to them? Tongues, glory to God, speak with many tongues. How can that happen? You can tell people that are baptized in the Holy Ghost, they try to form churches with everybody just like them. This income bracket, that income bracket, that's all they're able to relate to. But the Holy Ghost breaks that up and gives them the ability to deal with anybody. New tongues. Yes. New tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God and took us with him, because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. Do you know you also got a place in heaven? Did you know that you've also got a place? You're connected in heaven and also in earth. Jesus is your connection in heaven, and you're his connection on the earth. You're his intercessor on the earth. He's your intercessor in heaven. It's a team. It's a team. You say, "Let thy will be done in earth. Let thy will be done in heaven." Who's doing that will in heaven? Jesus is doing the will in heaven as it's done on earth. You're the one that's doing the will of God on the earth. He said, "I delight to do thy will." You pick up that same anointing. Say, what are you doing every day? The will of God in the earth. The will of God in the earth. Jesus has got it taken care of in the heavens, far above every principality and power in it, which can be named. It's a team. And they went forth. Nations, church, this is what I believe God's doing. And they went forth. Thou shalt go out with a shout, for the Lord shall go forth with the sound of a trumpet. Go forth. You're about to go forth in Jesus' name. They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord, who was doing the signs and wonders, who was doing the great wonders, they went forth and preached, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders, with signs following. Amen. Who's doing the work? Jesus. Jesus is going to do the work. Oh, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. Just waiting for the opportunity to do some signs and to show himself strong. He said, signs, the Lord working with us. When we sense we preach the word of God, the worship comes, all of a sudden that feeling comes into the room. The anointing comes in the room. You don't know why you're crying. You don't know why you're sitting heavy. You don't know why you just can't leave. The Lord working with them. Glory to God. We're not here by ourselves. Jesus is here. Glory to God. He's a member of Nation Church. He's a staff member. He's the one doing the signs and wonders. He's got a horn. You're not all by yourself. We're not in this thing by ourselves. We can't lose. God is in the camp. The captain of the host is Jesus. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'll be with you always and forever. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come and see Jesus. Yeah.